You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. It's not John and Gordy. It's Matt and Angela this morning. That's me, Matt Rothschild, and Angela Lang, my favorite guest co-host of Block. She's the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, and she's terrific to have on the radio with me. So it's been fun, Angela. It's always fun.
Always a good time. We've never had a bad show.
No, I hope not. Hope never to have one.
Nope, never will.
Wasn't Tim Slecker great as our guest in the last half hour?
So good. I mean, I feel like I say this about every guest. I'm like, I could talk to him for hours because I'm, again, I got my roots in student organizing. And so seeing, and I always have a special place in my heart for students that are organizing and some of the issues that they're organizing against, whether it's their own, you know, administration or something bigger. So I'm a nerd. I can geek out about like the history of the student movement all time, hours.
And there is an all-out assault on student organizing, especially on the Gaza issue across the country. Yeah. So that's just outrageous. We weren't even able to touch on that with him. So we'll have to get him back. We got a great guest in studio, but before we get to her, it's time for our grown-up gift list contest here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a text to win multi-state contest. It's your daily chance to win $200. Plus, every entry puts you into our three grand prize drawings for a brand new snowblower, which you may need over the weekend and throughout this winter. Stainless steel cookware set you could get also, or a portable air conditioner, which you'll need in the summertime. So this hour's keyword is candy. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find WMDX on that app and use the text button to send the keyword candy for your chance to win in this multi-state contest. You've got until the end of the hour to send in the word candy, so go get that $200 prize. Who doesn't need $200?
And a snowblower. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, who doesn't want a snowblower, you know?
Yeah, good luck for that. And get the app. I mean, I told Dom, our engineer whose voice you just heard, that I only have two apps on my phone, and he was aghast because he has hundreds, I guess. But
I don't get it. I have TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, all the works. But, you know, you have two apps. I don't get it, Matt.
I've got the Civic Media app and the Merlin Birdwatching app. So there you go. Which is indispensable, by the way, and I was a snob about it for a long time and didn't get it, and I got it, and I love it. So anyway, if I can download the Civic Media app, you, the listener, can certainly do it. It's very easy. The number to call here to join the conversation always is 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255. Now, right now, we have in the studio with me Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, a member of the Madison Common Council, who's now running for the State Assembly here in the Madison area for the seat currently held by the one and only Francesca Hong. Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, thanks so much. It's great to see you again.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. It's always great to see you. And Angela.
I know. I'm so excited that you're here.
I was just looking up my Civic Media app so I could participate. I was like, I need that snowblower.
Now, I didn't know you two knew each other until just now. So I'm not surprised, though, because Angela knows everybody in the state who's got anything to do with politics and organizing. So let me just ask you, Dina, the basic question, why you're running for the state assembly.
Gosh, so many reasons, but I think the main reason is, as somebody who experiences poverty, as somebody who has had to rely on the kindness of friends to be sheltered, everything's becoming too unattainable for working people. And I know what it's like to wake up and not know where your next meal is coming from, or if you're going to be able to find an apartment or housing that you can afford, or, you know, and gosh, it's, if I'm experiencing it, I know that my neighbors are. Like, we look at how many people are accessing food pantries now. Those are our neighbors. Mm. Those are the people next door to us who are trying to feed their family. And this is America, one of the richest countries in the world. And the way we are approaching this economy and the way that people are experiencing this current administration is oppressive. It's hard. And it's hard to find hope.
It's not a fraud, this affordability crisis?
Not a fraud, no. And I think hearing the President of the United States say it's a fraud is a slap in the face to working Americans all across this country.
Yeah, I don't think it's a winning issue for him when he calls it a hoax. And everyone, you know, who are you going to believe, Donald Trump or your lying wallet?
Exactly.
I know who my mom would believe, but that's a
that's another question.
I believe my wallet.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you talked about the you know, this question of homelessness or rent or mortgage payments. I mean, everyone except the top, you know, 1% or 10% has trouble paying rent or making their mortgage payments.
Yeah. And that 1% is the only population in this country whose wages have increased over the last two decades. Ours haven't.
No.
Working people, their wages have not increased. I've worked for $2.33 an hour for a lot of my career as a server.
In the restaurant business.
In the restaurant business.
Yeah. My son's been doing that too.
Yeah. And it's hard on your body, let me tell you. But like, I have always had insurance and security. I just got food poisoning a couple of weeks ago, and everybody's like, go to the doctor, go to the emergency room. There was no way in heck that I was going to go to the emergency room. I am already under financial pressure. And it's perverse. And I will say that again. It is perverse that people have to choose not to seek care because they can't afford it and they don't want to go into massive debt. It's just unconscionable to me. Mm-hmm.
It's a choice people shouldn't have to make.
Right, right. And the policies we make from a city level all the way up to the federal level are tell us who we value. Mm. And right now, we're not valuing working Americans. Mm. We're valuing corporations. They have more rights than you and I do.
And more power. Yeah. Power of the purse, anyway.
And more power.
Campaign finance power, anyhow. Which the U.S. Supreme Court's going to give more of as we speak, virtually. I mean, it is unbelievable, you know, who controls the country and whose policies they're for. I mean, everyone knows it's for the super rich. Yeah. They run the show, and they don't really care about anybody else. And it's never been more true now than in the Trump administration. So if you're elected to the state assembly, what would be your number one priority then?
I mean, Badger Care for All. Let's get people insured so they can go take care of themselves. If you look at every study ever done on the cost of pouring money into healthcare from the federal government as opposed to taking care of those we have neglected, it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. When we sow into healthcare, it's more affordable for the government in the long run because we're not having to put our resources to things that were so preventable.
Mm. I mean, it is amazing that Robin Voss is the single person standing in the way of expansion of Medicaid, including Medicaid coverage for women who just had a baby. Every other state except Arkansas and Wisconsin expands Medicaid for a year for those folks, not here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Because he doesn't care. He is not intimately familiar with having to struggle just to get basic needs met.
And his one job that he considers for himself is to carry water for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. That's all he's been his whole career, just a water boy for the big corporations in Wisconsin. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I think we are responsible for each other. I think we are responsible for the welfare of everyone who lives in our city.
We should
be. Our country, our state. I mean, it's radical to think that human decency should be normalized, you know?
No, it's the ruling ideology is dog eat dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got mine, and to hell with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which leads me, I'm going to reposition this. The policies on immigration are harming our rural communities.
Mm-hmm.
They're harming our economy, body politic, yeah, and our personality too. It's grotesque, yeah, scapegoating going on right, yeah, now. But yeah, I mean, they're devastating farming and dairy farming, and it can run havoc on the restaurant industry too, and, yeah, a lot of other industries.
Absolutely,
roofing, you name it,
which is directly tied to the cost of our food.
Yeah,
the availability of our food, and our Hmong community who fled a genocide, many of them are terrified to leave their homes, terrified to travel from one city to another. Our Latino population are struggling and scared. They call me all the time, Dino, what's going on? This is probably the biggest inflection point for the country right now, and the longer this is sustained by our federal government and by our state politicians acquiescing to these tactics.
And some sheriffs, too.
And sheriffs. The longer that happens, the less safe our communities are, the more our economy is going to be impacted, the more the cost of your food is going to rise. And I don't know a single Wisconsinite who wants that.
It is an inflection point. It's a moral inflection point. Yeah. It's an inflection point about who we are as a people, as a country, what we stand for, what we are going to allow to happen.
Yeah.
If you're in the state assembly, you could do some work on that issue too, and not cooperating with ICE, right?
Absolutely. That is a moral imperative for our state legislature to start working on.
I'm speaking with Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford. She's a member of the Madison Common Council, who is now running for the state assembly here in Madison, the 76th seat. Not many of us know what seat is what by number, but anyway, it's the seat currently held by Francesca Hong. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting the show today with Angela Lang. She is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. We welcome your calls. You can join in at 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255 here on WMDX in Madison. Driving's okay. Should be safe in the commute today. We'll be right back with Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the John and Gordy in the Morning Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. John and Gordy are off this morning. They'll be back tomorrow morning, and you can always catch them in the afternoon from 2 to 5. These guys are really doing yeoman's duty on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been happy to be joined by Angela Lang as my co-host for the show this morning. Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Always fun to be with you, Angela.
You too. We've always had good conversations, and I feel like we could do a whole day long radio show and still not run out of topics.
Yeah, not sure I have the stamina for that, but
it's... I'm not proposing it.
It would be an idea, a marathon. Anyway, still thrilled to have in the studio with me Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford. She's a member of the Madison Common Council, now running for the State Assembly here in the Madison area in the seat held by Francesca Hong right now. And Francesca Hong is running for governor, of course. If you were elected, Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, you'd be the first trans person elected to the State Assembly. What would that mean to you?
I don't think it's about what it would mean to me. It's about what it would mean to trans people across the state of Wisconsin.
And what would that meaning be?
I mean, they'll be able to see themselves. And I just think of when I grew up in small town Texas and rural Texas, and I think about the kids in small town Wisconsin right now that are terrified to just walk out of their homes or exist, and they're often in families that are not supportive, and these poor kids, these people who are just trying to exist, to be able to see somebody in that place makes an incredible difference. And we know this across the board. Our experiences as humans, when we are able to see somebody thrive as an adult and see them have a seat at the table, it changes our thoughts on ourselves. It changes how we perceive our future.
What's been behind this demonization of trans folks that Trump got elected on, in part, grotesquely, but there it was.
Grotesquely, yeah. I will say, coming from evangelical fundamentalist backgrounds, that it has been a drive to eliminate the LGBTQ community since the 70s, 80s. And they took the long game to install leaders and elect people who would advocate against the dignity and humanity of other humans, which, as a person of faith, I'm sorry, but that is contrary to the message. And they're succeeding because they've had the long game. They've played it out. We look at Project 2025, and it is not ambiguous. And from my understanding, they have achieved 80% of Project 2025. And this directly impacts not only trans people, but the greater LGBTQ community, people of color, immigrants, and most importantly, cisgender women.
Mm-hmm. How is that?
Well, I mean, it's very clear that they don't want women to have a vote. They are talking about making women's citizenship conditional.
Yeah, this is how far back they're turning back the clocks.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, I'm going to use the word perverse and unconscionable, because we have worked so hard, put our lives on the line to be able to exist. And I don't know, but I believe in the aspirational words that we were founded on about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people. Mm-hmm. Is that radical?
I don't think they're into happiness.
They want you to think it's radical. That's the thing, right? Is that, like, oh, you want universal child care, or you want people to have a living wage, and people,
oh,
and I've been called radical. I've been called all sorts of things, but you know, radical. And I'm like, I had to kind of reclaim that, because I'm like, there is nothing radical about advocating for the humanity of your neighbors and
Absolutely.
Of your community and people that you don't even know.
Yeah.
There's nothing radical about that.
Nothing radical about that at all. In fact, it is what their religion has demanded, but they ignore that.
Yeah, I wonder what part of the Bible they're actually reading sometimes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, as a person of faith, I'm really into this, and we can talk about this forever. But when, and my mom even does it, my mom is able to, unfortunately, dehumanize me in the same breath that she loves me in.
How does she do that?
Well, I mean, she negates my dignity as a human being because I'm trans, and talks about it. It's against the Bible. It's against the law of God and whatever. But the Bible I read said, love your enemy, love your neighbor, forgive as I have forgiven you. So I sit in the space of a justice Christ right now, and that justice energy is what it was all founded on.
You know, this is a moment where we need more and more people of faith to speak up about this justice moment. Yeah. And there are more and more people of faith speaking up about it, which is a great thing. And Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, thanks for being on the show. Good luck with your campaign.
Oh, thank you so much.
We'll be right back to talk some birds, talk some poetry. Please stay tuned. WMDX 92.7 FM, right here in Madison.
10 seconds.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the John and Gordy Show. That's Sean Michael Dargan doing a little riff here on Birdland, a little courtesy to Paul Simon there for
something. It's really good. It's like Cheeseland. It was. I really like it. It's soothing.
Anyway, it's fun because we like to talk about birds whenever I'm on. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting for John and Gordy here, along with Angela Lang from Block. And we've had a lot of fun talking some serious stuff. Talking some politics there with Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, who's running for state assembly. And we talked, of course, with Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils about education. But, you know, I like when I'm on for 2 hours here on the Civic Media Radio Network to also salute the birds around us. You know, one out of three Wisconsinites is a bird watcher, identifies as a bird watcher.
Really?
That is, that's twice the national average. Maybe the highest average in the country, for all I know. It's certainly one of the highest. And the funniest thing is I'll post stuff on Facebook that I think is really important politically. It'll, you know, get 5 or 6 shares and 12 or 13 likes. And then I post a bird picture and it'll get, 20 shares and 150 likes. I mean, people like birds. So, and I've been a bird watcher since I was 4 years old. If you're out there and you're a bird watcher and you want to tell me what birds you're seeing, give us a call, 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255. So we had Joe from Madison calling earlier. And she mentioned Tenney Park here in Madison. So crazy me, I drove out to Tenney Park yesterday right after, you know, there was a half inch or inch of snow and ice on the roads. And I pulled in there at the river in a snow-packed little runway up to the lake. I was able to drive around, but barely. I thought I was going to get stuck there. I was looking for ducks because I'd heard there was a report that there was a harlequin duck. This is a duck that is black and white in the face. It's got a blue breast and a blue back with white stripes and then a big rusty side on it. And it's usually a duck that you only see in Oregon or Washington State. And I've never seen one. So I wanted to go see one. Of course, I get out there, and this is the life of a bird watcher. I was there, and I didn't see one. It's like fishing. You go out fishing, you don't catch a fish.
You're dedicated, though, you know? You're dedicated.
Or you're out trying to get the buck, like Mark from Prairie du Sac, and you don't get your buck. But I did see some pretty birds there. I saw some golden eyes and some buffleheads and some other pretty birds. Do you have the sound of the harlequin duck?
Yes, right down? Let's do it.
Let's take a listen, and then we'll go to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Very high-pitched. That's the sound of a harlequin duck. Usually don't see
it. It almost sounds like a squeak toy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, like it just sat on the squeak toy. I love that. Yeah, so some bird watchers have been seeing this around Tenney Park. So if you're in Madison, you're a bird watcher, want to give it a try, go out to Tenney Park and see if you can find the harlequin duck. I hope you have better luck than I did. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Doing okay. You kind of shifted gears a little bit in my brain that I know the long-tailed duck that had its name changed because I think it got its original name because I think they took it from a Native American phrase for the duck because it sounded like some old women, you know, arguing. I think is the,
so the long-tailed duck is a pretty duck too, and is kind of black and white in the face and body also, and true to its name, has a really long duck, long tail. They've seen those in the Milwaukee area near the museum. So keep an eye out for that too. There are all sorts of interesting ducks coming through. What else is on your mind, Mark?
But my original thought was, Robin Voss should appreciate a liberal arts education, considering that political science is a liberal art. That's where he got his degree when he was there with Rancid Priebus, getting his education.
They were all there together, Walker, Rancid Priebus, Voss, the whole gang.
And that it occurred, a thought occurred to me that I've been mulling over with some people, that Trump is kind of like the boy ignorance underneath the Ghost of Christmas Presents robes, that because ignorance is indeed, doom. I mean, that, and while, the context is a little different because it's the children, ignorance and want underneath the, ignore both of them to our peril. But it seems, that for Trump and his clan, the billionaires would seem they would not want for anything, but they continue to want more to the detriment of the rest of society. That, that how much do you actually need? I mean,
gets
piled up. And
what do you do with the next billion? I mean, that's the question. Or what do you do with, if you've got 50 million, what do you do with the next 50 million? Mark from Prairie du Sac, thanks as always for your call. And if you'd like to call, the number 608-879-8255. That always puzzled me. This race just to get the insatiable greed to just keep accumulating, even though you can't possibly spend all that money in your whole life. And people are, can't pay rent, can't afford food, and yet you're hoarding all this money. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable to me.
It's one of the reasons, and I don't think it's controversial to say this here, but happy to have folks call in and push back on this. It's one of the reasons I don't think billionaires should exist, right? Because, one, what'd you have to do, right, to be able to acquire that much wealth? There's probably some unethical practices that have happened in order for you to have that wealth. But then also, like you said, like you're just hoarding it. And I think generational wealth is something that's important. I know that's something that, we in the Black community are always thinking about, how rebuilding that generational wealth. But I can't even fathom what it means to even be a billionaire. Yes, make sure your grandkids and everybody are taken care of, but that goes to a certain extent, right? And I think it's disgusting, and it is literally hoarding not only wealth, but it's hoarding this ability to thrive and to be able to not be in survival mode, and it's disgusting. But yet we're the radical ones for calling it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's Angela Lang of Block, who is my guest co-host. And by saying billionaires shouldn't exist, she doesn't mean, what she means is you should be, Bernie Sanders says the same thing. We don't need billionaires. That once you get to $1 billion, we should tax your wealth and your income so you don't go over $1 billion and redistribute it to needs of the whole community. That we call our government. We're supposed to be able to participate in our government that way. That's what taxes are for. They're for the common welfare, which is there in the preamble to the Constitution. And we need to be able to provide for the general welfare somehow, and we do it through taxes. And it used to be when Eisenhower, hardly a communist, was president, the top marginal tax rate was 93% on that last million you're making. So come on. We can get there. Right now, that level is under 40%. So that's what happened from Reagan on down. We've got a couple calls. We've got Dick on the line. Dick, what's on your mind?
The most galling thing to me about Trump and his wealth is I remember back when he was first elected in 2017, New York Times in particular ran articles nonstop for about the first 6 months of his presidency about how he basically was a pauper and a phony millionaire. It was all a paper, just a crap show. And now he actually is one, and it was produced strictly, through using the White House as a cash box. Mm-hmm. He was a phony millionaire at best, first go around.
I mean, he couldn't even run a casino. How hard is it to make a casino profitable? Yeah. That's the amazing thing. And then he would stiff his workers. I remember the story of when he was opening that Atlantic City casino. He was getting a guy to make grand pianos for him.
Yeah.
And the guy made the pianos, stopped all his other work. Trump didn't pay him for the pianos, and the guy went out of business. I mean, this is the kind of jerk that we have as a president.
Always the checks in the mail with him. Well, look at the thing with the White House, destroying the White House.
Well, Dick from Middleton, I appreciate the call. Yeah, Trump and his family, they're using the White House like it's an unlimited ATM machine. It's unbelievable. We've got Matt from Middleton calling. Matt, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Morning, guys. Thanks for filling in. I think this greed issue is all part of our sick culture in America. I don't know if it started with lifestyles of the rich and famous in the 80s or what, but it's very sick. I lived in Texas for 10 years, and that was the first time I'd ever met a libertarian. And this was a miserable white guy that couldn't find a date, you know, your typical MAGA, angry at the world. And he told me that greed did not exist, and that if one person accumulated all the money of the world, it was his right to do so and his right to choose what to do with that money. So these people are sick. I think we have to take the power from them and tax them as much as possible because, yeah, billionaires are dangerous. That amount of power is dangerous, and no one should have it. Thanks.
That's Matt from Middleton.
Absolutely.
And that's been the problem here because, I mean, to put it at the highest level of abstraction I can think of, capitalism's devouring our democracy. The ability of people to accumulate unlimited amounts of money allows them then to accumulate senators and congressmen and Supreme Court justices. So they've used the economic sphere to dominate our political sphere, and it's destroying our country and destroying our democracy right now. And the greed does seem unlimited. I'm reading a book right now called Gilded Rage about Elon Musk and the other billionaires in Silicon Valley who feel so put upon that they're not revered by the population the way they want to be revered, and they feel like they're getting the short end of the stick when they obviously they have the fattest end of the stick possible. And so it's quite extraordinary how this group of tech billionaires have shifted and now aligned with Trump. I mean, there they were at the inauguration, you know, they're right behind Trump oftentimes when he's out in public still. Trump is using, under his new national security doctrine, the power of the federal government and foreign policy to open up markets to the tech billionaires and make sure they don't get regulated by other countries as in Europe. So, yeah, I mean, greed is a thing. And Matt from Middleton mentioned, you know, libertarians. I would recommend a Google search for anyone who's listening. Look up the Libertarian Party platform in one of the years in the 1990s when one of the Koch brothers was running as vice president on the Libertarian Party. What that agenda that Koch brother as the vice president of the Libertarian Party, the candidate for vice president, that platform is almost identical to the platform of Project 2025. So, you know, Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford was talking about the long game. The Koch brothers and these other billionaires have been in this long game for a long, long time. It's not an accident that they've now gained power because it was very crafty and very systematic. And they've used all the levers at their disposal economically to buy up the media and buy up the political sphere. So that's where we're at. You're listening to John and Gordy in the Morning. I'm Matt Rothschild with my co-host, Angela Lang, and we'll be right back. We'll talk about a little inspiration maybe going forward. And I've got a poem for you, too, that you're not going to want to miss from Jim Harrison, who was born on this date back in 1922, I think it was. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, co-hosting with Angela Lang, because John and Gordy are doing double duty around here. They'll be on this afternoon from 2 to 5, and they're on tomorrow morning at their regular spot here from 6 to 8, and then they're doing 2 to 5 tomorrow afternoon, too. So you can get your fill of John and Gordy that way. But it's been a real delight to be with Angela Lang. I always love working with you, Angela, on radio. It's so much fun. Same. Doesn't feel like work.
It doesn't. I mean, you can get me up at, you know, 5-something in the morning and be ready to go at 6. Not a lot of people can get me up out of bed doing that.
Well, I'm happy to be your alarm clock there because it's just fun to talk politics and, you know, talk about where we are at always. That's usually, you know, we're taking the temperature of our democracy every time you and I are on the phone and on the radio together. And so I also think it's important to give people some inspiration. And, you know, I find inspiration and I find wisdom from, you know, of course, Heather Cox Richardson and Robert Reich and people like that. But Ruth Ben-Ghiat, this NYU professor who wrote the book Strong Men and is a scholar of fascism, has been a person who's helped me maybe more than anybody try to sort through where we're at. But she doesn't just dwell on the scary. She talks about the positives that are going on right now. So I just want to read a couple sentences from her. She wrote this recently on her podcast Lucid, or Substack Lucid, L-U-C-I-D, which I highly recommend. Each time we show solidarity with others, support those who protect the rule of law, help the targeted, or expose the lies and the corruption, we stand up for democratic values of justice, accountability, and more. Each time we are visible on behalf of those who have disappeared or who can no longer speak for themselves, we model behaviors the authoritarian state wants us to abandon. Joining with others, we transform our individual righteous indignation into a potent moral force for good. I just love that. Transforming our individual righteous indignation into a potent moral force for good. That's Ruth Ben-Ghiat, Substack Lucid. Highly recommend it. Do you got anything, Angela, you want to throw in?
Yeah, you know, I think it is no secret that being a Black woman executive director in a state like Wisconsin can be very exhausting. And I think it's so important, especially in this time period, to always think about how this is a marathon and not a sprint. And so a couple of quotes that I have from Audre Lorde, if people aren't familiar, I highly recommend people looking into her. She had a lot of great notable works as a writer. But one of the things she said was, we can learn to work and speak when we are afraid in the same way we have learned to work and speak when we are tired. And I think, you know, I spoke at No Kings, and that was something that I wanted to highlight, is that, yeah, people are scared, but it's also okay to be scared as long as we are continuing to speak out. And then lastly, and this is in my out of office message, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. So take some time where you need to get that massage, say no, turn off your email notifications. It's okay. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Totally with you on that, Angela Lang. And here, as promised, is the Jim Harrison poem. This is the last poem in his new and collected poems, The Shape of the Journey. Not how many different birds I've seen, but how many have seen me, letting the event go unremarked except for the quietest sense of malevolence, dead quiet, then restarting their lives after fear, not with song, which is reserved for lovers, but the harsh and quizzical chatter with which we all get by. But if she or he passes by and the need is felt, we hear the music that transcends all fear, and sometimes the simpler songs that greet sunrise, rain, or twilight. Here I am. They sing what and where they are. A lovely song that greets today's sunrise from Jim Harrison, a terrific poet and writer who was born on this date back in 1922. Well, Angela, I want to thank you for being with me for this two-hour Civic Media 92.7 WMDX show. It's been a real pleasure, as always. Looking forward to doing it with you again.
Yep, likewise. And thanks, Dom, too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was nice to meet you, Angela. I didn't actually formally, you know, meet you and say hi, but
yeah.
It was nice to meet you over a StreamYard, so.
Yeah, yes. Dom is terrific. Dom graduated from UW Oshkosh in the spring and jumped right in here at Civic Media and has been doing a terrific job here. And he also is the engineer and producer of the podcast I do for Civic Media called Wisconsin Forward. And I've interviewed all the Democratic candidates except for Mandela Barnes, and I've got feelers out to Mandela Barnes, so hoping to get that to happen. I want to thank our guest today, Tim Slecker of Busted Pencils, whose podcast appears at civicmedia.us and whose show comes on Saturdays. And I want to thank Dean and Nina Martinez Rutherford, who's running for state assembly. So they were wonderful to have. I want to thank the callers, Mark and Matt, really, and Joe. Really appreciate those calls here from Madison. And so, yeah, the John and Gordy folks will be back this afternoon from 2 to 5, and they'll be here tomorrow morning. And I wish you all a safe and decent day. Greet the sunrise.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.